me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Ow. What did you say, nigga?
That's motherfucking right. You can just suck my cock. What's happening, y'all? Konnichiwa! ¿Qué pasa? ¿Cómo está la cosa? This is Nestor Rodriguez, you know, a.k.a. the Nestorious motherfucking host of Nestorious Public Radio. And we got the lovely Jenny Guzman on the fucking engineering knobs over there. What's up, ma?
Hello.
Yeah, that's it, man. So I wanna say thank you to all my listeners in Korea. Also my listeners in Iceland. I don't know how to speak Icelandish, but I'm gonna say what's up. You know what I mean? I wanna say what's up to my people in Florida. What's up, papis? What's up, mommies? ¿Cómo estamos? How you doing? That's all of Florida, because I only know Puerto Ricans and Dominicans in Florida. And I wanna say to all my people in Cuba, I wanna say what's poppin'. You know what I mean? Cause I'm gonna be heading over to Cuba not too far from now. We're gonna be doing a few episodes of Nestorious Public Radio in Havana. So that should be fun. You know what I mean? I should be off the hook. Hey, so before I go on and introduce my guest for today, I just want to, you know, follow my pod father, the inspirational podcast, my man Mick Betancourt that I had on here last week. My man's got it. By the way, my man got, I don't know if I said it last week, but he got, he made his podcast, The Mick Betancourt Show, made it to iTunes's top 250 podcasts, which is pretty fucking good. But iTunes has about 5 million fucking podcasts, okay? My gerbil has a fucking podcast. It's like everybody has a fucking podcast. For somebody to make it to the top, fuck that. The top 1,000 is pretty big. The top 250 is unbelievable. Anyway, so his format is, as we talked last week, but he inspired me to do this, right? So if you go to iTunes and you give us a 5-star review, a fucking 5-star review, okay, like, yo, papi chulo, to the top, you know what I mean, Back to the Future, you know what I mean, Nestorious Public Radio's rocks the house, whatever the fuck you want to do, just put 5 stars on that shit, take a screen grab, if you don't know what that is, and if you have a Mac, you Apple Shift 4, and just fucking drag it, and you fucking let it go, and it gives you a little screen grab of that shit, all right? You email that shit to me at Nestorious@yahoo.com, or you can post it on my Nestorious Public Radio page on Facebook, or my Nestorious page on Facebook. I'll send you a condom, okay, and a sticker, okay? Condom is so that, yeah, so you can fucking prevent the insanity right here, right now. You just stop it where you're at, okay? And the sticker, so you can stick it wherever the fuck you want and promote my show, all right? Anyway, with that said, I want to say what's up to my man, Ricky Skieta. What's up, papi?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Nestor? Yeah.
You know, Ricky, I'm good, man. Good to see you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you on this fucking show for like fucking 2 years.
I want what Nestor's drinking, man. I love this guy. He has so much energy.
Water.
It's water. That's the secret.
Water. Mountain spring water.
Not Arrowhead water.
Arrowhead water.
I am kind of hyper, though. But that's
your nature.
It is.
That's your nature. It's you're Cuban?
I'm Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican. Yeah, okay. You're Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Puerto Ricans. I have my brother-in-law's Puerto Rican.
But it's you know, they got bipolar Puerto Ricans, and then they got like passive aggressive Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
You know, I'm manic depressive, so I'm bipolar, and a lot of times, you know, I have like type 2 bipolar disorder, which is, you know, I pretty much surf. I pretty much kite surf on the mania level. So I'm really high all the time. And when I'm down, I'm depressed, which is fucked up being depressed in L.A. because it's always sunny.
Your poor wife, man. That's all I can think
exactly.
of.
Everyone says that.
That's all I can think of. Your poor wife.
Everyone says that. No one even knows about
you
wife.
You are a package.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when we were out of fucking DirecTV, I just plugged the wire in my ass and we get all our channels back. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Who needs the electric company? Here's Nestor. Yeah.
When the satellite goes out, we're watching TV. You ever watch a fucking TiVo show?
Yeah.
And then it goes black, it glitches and shit.
Yeah.
I fucking rewind the shit, I plug it in my ass, and I think
I see you do that like a couple of times at the beginning of the show. I thought it was me. That was my eyesight.
So anyway, so Rick, you had a show here, the Is Radio Show on Skid Row Studios.
Yes. I had a show here. It was a lot of fun. We have a lot of memories here.
Yeah. I listened to a couple of your episodes. I loved
the good ones.
Well, I mean, good ones. I mean, it's all subjective. You know what I mean? I feel very judgmental about some of my episodes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then some episodes, I'm like, I fucking love them.
Yeah.
You know, I come out of recording this thing high, and I'm like really proud of it. You know,
there are some episodes.
That I'm very proud of. And then, you know, I'm just, you know, you're a comedian, I'm a comedian. We're very hypercritical of ourselves.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of opinions. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of judging to do ourselves about what's going on TV, what's going on radio.
Exactly.
And that was one of the things I found the outlet of the radio show was coming here and just talking about the news, things that I wouldn't talk about on stage as much, but just off the cuff here.
Right, because it's not material.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And some material would come out of it.
Right.
And then having the guest, I had, I don't even remember his name, but I had a famous boxer here, Victor something.
Doesn't matter. Famous boxer.
Yeah, he was. He just got a professional fight.
Who was about, you know, 5'6". His nose was flattened out, like his nostrils are really close to his face. It doesn't matter. He was Latino. His name was Victor something. He's Latino. He's got dark hair. He's got a round face. And
you do yours. You do yours by yourself.
My podcast?
Yeah. I mean, you have different people, but it's just an idea that I started thinking of because I had a team.
Right.
I had a team which then, you know, had a lot of bumping of personalities, a lot of stuff going on.
It's, you know? When you have more than one person doing a show, it becomes harder to manage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, my show is pretty much navigated by my persona, my personality, like you said, wacky and all over the place and a lot of energy. And sometimes, like, Simon is one of my co-hosts. Simon Kaufman, I don't think you know him, and Rich Corbin. Two completely different personalities.
Sure.
And both of those together don't even have enough energy to fucking compete with my shit, right? So, like, Simon, he's, like, ultra witty. So a lot of times I'd be, we each read these articles, sometimes heavy articles, you know, like nuclear physicist type shit.
Sure.
And it's very difficult to break that shit down sometimes in the context of a 55-minute podcast.
Absolutely. Right? It's more than an hour.
So we start talking about it. You could do it. You can do it in 10 minutes, but it's got to be produced right. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen this show called Last Week Tonight with,
what's his name?
James Oliver or something like that. Something Oliver.
Yeah.
Hey, that fucking show is unbelievable. Yeah. 30 fucking minutes tight.
Yep, tight. Everything tight.
And the writing and the producing on that show. So it's like, if I was to aspire to something, that would be my podcast, right? It would be a topic, fucking around with somebody.
Sure.
And then, you know, sticking to the topic and having sharp-witted references to support your perspectives, arguments, and whatnot. Opinions and whatnot.
Right.
So the thing about, for instance, Simon... You know, we'd be getting into the conversation about the show, and then all of a sudden, Simon would just like interject with like some witty, and I'm like, dude, like I don't want, like right now, I don't want it to be funny. So it's very different. It's not that I don't want it to be funny; is I wanted to have an intellectual dialogue about the topic that or the article that we were talking about. So I'd get frustrated. That takes me off. You know what I mean? It's almost like you're performing stand up, and you know you're doing your set, right?
Yeah.
And if you're seasoned, you're not just sticking to your material, but and I shouldn't say that if you're seasoned, everyone's different.
Yeah.
But for me, I have my material, but then I'm like fucking around with the audience
sure.
and using it, right?
You have
but
to.
Then somebody, you know, out of left field says, "Your mother sucks dick."
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Hold on a second. I gotta deal with this guy.
Bro, I'll deal with that guy. I mean, first of all, I can see if you said, yeah, you're gerbil. Some people related to what you're saying.
Yeah.
But like out of left field, it feels that way sometimes.
It's the moment. You gotta be within the moment. The way I try out new material is it's happening today. It happened today. Something. Right. You know, and I had some family over recently visiting. Mm-hmm. Not my family.
Where are you from, by the way?
Ecuador.
Are you Mexican?
Ecuador.
Oh, Ecuador.
Ecuatoriano.
Motherfuckers don't know how to like break that shit down.
Dude, I had family from South America over, and it's just horrible. It's a nightmare. You know?
Yeah. They're, why?
Because they're loud. They're loud. They don't even know how loud they are.
Really?
Yeah, they're loud, and one's yelling on my left to the person on my right, and the other on the right. And every time they're on the phone, they're like, "Alo, alo,
and it's alo, like, se oye,
alo." And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Right.
It's my house, you know.
Right.
It's like, come on, you're guest.
Right.
Come on, it's different.
Que guest ni guest, motherfucker. Que guest ni guest.
And the guy does this. Who is this dude?
He's your brother-in-law, your brother, your what?
Girlfriend's brother, this brother that just showed up out
your
of nowhere.
Your girlfriend's brother.
Yeah, just showed up out of nowhere.
He's like, guess me, I'm gonna scratch my belly.
Hey, brother-in-law. And he has two kids, like 2 and 5 years old. He's like, yeah, say hi to your tio. Es tu tio, tu tio. And I'm like, hey, sir, señor, primero.
Chill,
I just met him. Don't call me uncle. Fuck, take you to bed first,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it was just coming all in with their bags and, you know. And,
like, you were just inviting them over for some tea and shit.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers come in with a bag and a fucking, you know, like a tent. And it's like, no! Soy from Ecuador, bro! Yo!
I'm looking at my girlfriend going, who the fuck are you? Like, what's going on? Where am I?
How long have you been with your girlfriend? Is this... You recently have a baby...
Yeah, yeah.
A baby girl or boy?
Girl. Baby girl, yeah.
Baby girl.
Yeah, daughter.
How, 2 years?
She's 1.5.
One and a half, because you were a father to be when we recorded the Stars in Black episode, which was Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
So she's gonna be June,
September.
September. Okay.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that the stars, everything started happening when this little seed started growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because the little seed started growing in 2013. Let's say January 2013.
Yeah.
New Year's, I think, drunk. I don't know.
and this is with the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
With the girlfriend who has this brother from, you know, Venezuela.
Yeah, fuck him. Oh, he's from Venezuela.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was from Ecuador.
No, he's from Venezuela.
She's Venezuelan.
Yeah, and Peruvian.
She's Venezuelan and Peruvian?
And Peruvian,
she's
hot,
though, right?
She's cute, yeah.
Okay.
Man, she's
Venezuelan
hot. She's cute.
Venezuelan chicks are like, oh.
You know, after the baby, you know, she's working on it.
Fuck it, bro. Fuck that. After the baby. Well, guys are fucked up, right?
Yeah, me
after,
too.
Yo,
oh,
after
man.
The baby.
After, I got pregnant, dude, after the baby.
Dude, after 30, your fat ass comes out. You got love handle. They call them love handles. Meanwhile, they're fucking flotation buoys is what they fucking are. On the they start on the side of your fucking waist and they
wrap around
your lower back. Yeah. Us guys, we can get away with being fucking disgusting, flabby, fucking fat, whatever.
I don't know. I've been told, hey, you're too fat.
No,
right
but yet we'll have the gall, right?
Yeah.
To say, ah, she's fat or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, no.
What the fuck? Who are you?
I'm about everybody's equal. All people need love.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them, sure, I'm not. It's not my type or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
no, to each his own. The only problem I have is with the term BBW, right? And most of the chicks that consider themselves BBWs are like fucking circus acts, right? And like big, beautiful woman, BBW. Dude, you're not a big, beautiful woman. You're fucking disgusting. There's a difference.
You just reminded me of my lonely days. Because I was like, BBW, what did I see? Oh, yeah, when I was alone looking at Craigslist ads. Maybe there's something there.
And what happened? And what happened? Some of them responded, and there were like 300 and fucking 50 pounds.
I could never do the internet thing. I could never do it.
No, but I'm saying, BBW, 350 pounds, 5'4". Dude, that's not BBW. That's not BBW.
Hairy back.
That's fucking, that's an abominable snowman type shit. Come on. BBW is, you know, somebody who's maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe, I go for 50 pounds overweight, you know, well-rounded. That's fine, but not fucking, you know, yeah. Anyway, but I'm not judging. I'm just saying I have a problem with people. Well, put it this way. I have a problem with people always having to label themselves, right?
Labeling things
so that other people can identify. I'm with you. I think people should be who the fuck they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone should be celebrate who they are.
Yeah. Sure. And then that's who I am. Sometimes I like my alone time. I like my house to myself. And when people come in and they stay, I'm not myself. You know, I'm just not happy. So that's who I am. And I started talking. So I took him. He goes, I was going to go to an open mic, you know, to practice some stuff. Sunset Room, Hacienda Heights, late night.
Okay.
It's a bar, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, I'll go with you. I go, no, I don't think you want to go, dude.
I do stand-up so I can get away from Venezuelan brother-in-laws. That's why I do stand-up, motherfucker. You don't get it.
And so he goes with me. And in the car, I go, okay, you know I'm going to be doing some stuff about what I'm feeling right now.
He's like, yeah, we're friends, and we're going to do some drinks, and he has no clue, yeah.
I go, man, so I'm going to talk about what I'm going through right now.
Right,
about family staying at my, he goes, what are you going to do, joke about me? And then I said, well, I hope you don't get offended. They're just jokes, okay?
Yeah.
And he was cool.
I hope you don't get offended, but actually how I really feel about you is you're a fucking asshole, and you came to my house for a lemonade, and you fucking decided to stay for a week, okay? I say that in Spanish, but I've been in America for too long.
In all fairness, I got to tip my hat off to my new brother-in-law, who has all this fucking money.
He's a good guy.
I don't know from where.
He's a good guy, though.
He bought a car, bought some TVs.
Here?
Yeah. He got out of the house in 2 weeks. He got an apartment.
He came over here for a lemonade, and he bought himself a car and two TVs.
He came over here for life.
So he's here.
Yeah. He's here to stay.
How's that?
He just came, dude, and he planned it, and he's selling cars at Toyota.
How's that?
Isn't that fucking amazing?
How's that when you don't even have a green card or anything like that?
I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Really?
What a country, huh?
Really? Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
So you think I could do that too?
If anybody could.
I mean,
you know what they said? He said he's got like a 10-year visa. That they're giving out 10-year visas
now.
Yeah,
that's called a cocaine cartel fucking passport is what that is. A 10-year visa.
So I was actually telling my girlfriend, I said, like, who the fuck, he has all this money. How do we know where he got it from? I go, who are you?
Does your girlfriend know?
She was a little bit questionable about it, too. And then he's been showing, you know, he's been doing his thing, man. He started his life. You know,
he's got his two sons.
And he doesn't bother me. He doesn't need my help as much.
Right.
Sure, we still offer the help. I say, hey, I'll help you out, whatever you need. Yeah, any
questions?
I'll
help you out. If you want a lemonade once in a while, you come over.
You know what's going to happen?
Right.
I'm a comedian. The guy's going to end up making more money than me. All right? That's going to happen.
What are you forecasting? I could tell you that's going to happen.
Even if he didn't sell Toyotas. It's like he's going to be paid for all the vacations.
Of course. Even if he didn't.
Wiping down his car,
dude. If he came to America with his two kids and just fucking begged on the 405 for fucking change or sold oranges, he'd make more money than you.
Oh, fuck.
If you're a comedian, you know what I mean. Being a comedian is crazy, man. On the serious tip, so you make a living as a comedian, or as one of the things you do to supplement?
It's my main thing,
really?
But I do other things.
Like what? What do you do?
Like I host for Ford. At events, like I'm the voice. Hey, come check out Ford, California Ford Motors.
On the radio?
No, at events.
Okay.
Through a marketing company.
Sometimes
in Spanish.
Like at fucking turkey fry festivals and shit, where people are like rednecks are going
exactly.
In to like buy.
No, but like sometimes with a Spanish version. So I have to be out there and say, hey, usted tiene cara de ganador. Llena la rifa, fili de raffle, right?
Get it, chiclets.
But then I like to act like that guy who doesn't speak good English.
So what else do you do? So they can identify with you.
Usted tiene cara de ganador. You have wiener on your face.
Yes. Yes.
You look a big wiener on your face.
You look like you need a new Toyota Camry. Come inside. Come inside. Step right in, sir.
You are a wiener.
Step right in, sir. We are here for you. Step right
in,
sir.
And then another job I have. I actually train people to use their new phones.
Really?
In a lot of hospitals. So when the hospital, they change the phone lines, I work for a company that works for the company or is contracted with the company,
really?
The telephone company. Go in and teach them how to use their
phones. Teach the hospital administration to use their new phones.
Yeah, like just maybe twice, two days in a month, if that alone.
Really?
They call
How'd
me.
How'd you get into that?
Referral business, people who you know.
That's an interesting business.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do, man? Well, you know, I teach newly indoctrinated Colombians how to sniff cocaine once they buy a half a gram. Yeah. You know, because, like, the cocaine is always being reinvented.
I would believe that from you, dude. I would believe that.
What they do is, you know, depending on what the cocaine is cut with, it will give you a different sensation. So what I do is I teach the prospective buyers and users of inhalants that the proper way of dosing it, not to like fucking just inhale it all the way, because sometimes, you know, just because you sniffed a lot of cocaine back in 1984, the new cocaine may be a little different, you know what I mean? So that's what I do. I get paid to go to hospitals to teach, you know, different people to, you know, inhale. You know,
that's an interesting job.
That's an interesting fucking job. So, but you do primarily make your living doing stand-up.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
I've made I don't want to throw numbers out there, but I made some pretty good numbers where I was pretty surprised in making that.
Good
and
for
sometimes
you.
Through the corporate first.
Okay.
Going through the corporate.
So you do a lot of clean stuff.
I do. I have a clean set.
Also, that's not your thing, though. Being
just to get paid.
Interesting.
Just get paid. I can't, like, my sister, she's, you know, diehard Christian, and she's like, you know what? Your comedy for kids is much better. I like it when you're clean, and you should be, don't give in to, and I would go, but I have great shows, Michelle. She's like, no, don't
you
give
say
in
fuck
it.
Too much. You know, it's too much. You can't say that.
I hope she's listening right now.
Michelle, you're a Christian. You can't say the word fuck. Yeah, but I was just describing your act, so it really doesn't count. My mother's born again Christian. You know. You know, my sister was on Broadway.
Okay? Oh.
My sister was in a play, The Motherfucker with the Hat, and I told my mom, you know, I'll fly you down.
That was the name of the play, The Motherfucker with the Hat?
Yes, with Chris Rock. Google it.
The Motherfucker with the Hat.
The Motherfucker with the Hat. Yes, she was nominated for a Tony, and the whole cast was nominated for a Tony.
Oh, wow, that's great.
The play was nominated for a Tony. Anyway, so fucking
A. What did your sister play? What role?
She played the role of Vanessa. She's on Orange is the New Black. She was a guest on my show here a couple weeks ago.
Oh, great. Yeah, I saw a post that you did that. Yeah.
So,
the family.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, you know, my mom, you know, she'll say things like, ay, no, pero Cristo no quiere que nosotros oigamos la música, que vemos este película, tú sabes, Dios no se mio. Puede hacer.
Santa María Santificada.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, ma, that's your daughter. You know what Christ would want? Christ would want you
to be happy
for your daughter and to show some support. I think that's what Jesus would want.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm not a firsthand expert on what Jesus wants.
Sure.
You know, but you know, here, my sister was in the movie Miami Vice. We were in Puerto Rico. It was the premiere of Miami Vice, Michael Mann's film with Jamie Foxx and I forgot Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
In Puerto Rico, I told my mom, Mom, you're going to go see the movie, right? Same thing. She says, I can't. You know, I'm like, Ma. And I'm trying to tell her. Right. I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
like
that's your daughter. No, dude, I've had a fucked up relationship with my mom because it's like, it's
too much.
But you got to love them, man. You got to be compassionate enough to say, you know, I have my own shit that I deal with my life.
Yeah.
She deserves what, you know, I have to respect. Well, you know what I mean? But it's hard sometimes, man.
Well, my mom's the same, but she's Catholic. My mom's Catholic, and she's a salsa dancer. So my mom was, salsa. You know, the hot mom.
Professional salsa dancer?
Yeah, I grew up. Yeah, well, she could have been because she was always dancing.
Salsa.
And then she gave...
By the way, Ray Barreto just passed this week, I believe. Ray Barreto was a famous conga player, salsero. And member of the world famous Fania All Stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So your mom was a salsa player.
She was dancer.
Dancer, salsa dancer.
Like she would dance. She dances so good. She still dances really good.
Really.
And so she was always like this hot mom. And so she was cool with me. She would listen to certain things I'd say. She ended up, she would cuss sometimes because she was Catholic.
I'm going to play some salsa because some people, you say salsa, some people don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. So let me play.
Oh, yeah, salsa music.
Let me play a little salsa. Dun, 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 dun,
dun,
dun. Well, there's different variations.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, sure. There's azúcar. And then there's sugar. And then there's
well, that's
azúcar.
Celia Cruz. That's Celia Cruz. Azúcar.
Can I tell you my Celia Cruz story?
Please, tell me one. I have one, too. Tell me one.
My dad used to own a nightclub here in L.A. in Silver Lake called El Caché.
El Caché.
El Caché. He had every single Latino artist singer here. Jose Jose.
Okay, here we go.
Juan Gabriel.
That's,
this is, I would grow up with this music, like listening to it every day. Like, my mom would be cooking with this music.
This is hip gyrating music, and you know, like
every
this is the salsa listen to at every party,
this is the sweetest. This can't stop me. Like, I know if there's anybody out there listening that is friends of mine right now or family right now, they're dancing. Oh, I love this song. I know they are. Right? This is a bad song, so it's like we gotta let it play. Listen to it.
Yeah, they're probably talking about the fucking invasion of fucking Christopher Columbus and fucking up the
Christopher Columbus got here and we started dancing.
Yeah.
Go. So my mom would be cooking breakfast and this music going on.
And the bacon sizzling.
And the bacon sizzling. And we're like with our forks and knives.
Yeah. You can't help it.
Do the background music, the kids.
Because you can't help it. I'm going to lower that. But yeah, let's talk about that shit.
So my dad owned the nightclub. And this is, I was 15, 16, 17 years old. And I was dancing salsa with like 30 old women.
Really? So you can get down on the salsa?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay. My mom taught me. My mom, you know. And so.
Dude,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was like having money. Like having money.
It's called called vagina currency.
Yeah, oh, totally.
You go into a club, white chicks, everybody, black chicks.
Yeah.
It's not just Latinas. Yeah. When you go in there, most dudes don't know how to dance. Yeah. You take one and you start spinning them around, forget it. It's like, let me know when you're done with him and you spin another motherfucker, you be there all fucking day.
Every ex that I have, when she would tell me about her new boyfriend, I'd say, but can he dance? That's it. But Kenny Dad is just
mom.
Sold later. Click.
So mom cooked breakfast and pancakes and eggs with salsa in the back.
Salsa music, dinner too. Always salsa music in our house. There was, you know, people drinking.
As we were coming into the building earlier before the show, you were saying that across the street there's the athletic club.
Yeah.
And you used to go there when you had money, when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Because your dad had money.
My dad had the nightclub. He had a lot of money. We were members of Los Angeles Athletic Club right here in downtown Los Angeles. And he had the money in the 80s, and then he lost it all. Too much juggling finances. He had a real estate. He had a investment company. He had a mortgage company.
Have you been sniffing too much cocaine? Lost all your family's fortunes?
Yeah, that was the next business.
Did you lose El Caché in Silver Lake? Well, hello. I am Nestor Rodriguez, expertise in cocaine law. Let me help you regain all of your lost funds.
And the government came down and he took off.
So he had a lot of bad investments and shit like that.
Yeah. It was like a mini Bernie Madoff thing.
Really?
But in all fairness to my dad, there was other people. There was a vice president. There were other people involved in it. And
so
he always had girlfriends. So he was always just
a womanizer.
Yeah, big womanizer.
No, that's why your mom cooked fucking eggs with salsa in the back to fucking fantasize and shit. That's rough, man. That's rough. So
Celia Cruz,
go ahead.
Slept over our house.
Nice.
Okay, Celia Cruz slept over.
Azúcar. Hold on, let me get some Celia Cruz. Continue.
And I had a friend sleeping over, and he can vouch for this. His name is Tony Camarena. He knows who he is.
You don't have to vouch for this. I'm hearing what you're saying.
I told him, hey.
What you're saying is word.
Oh, no, but it's the truth. What exactly happened was my friend was there and I said, hey, you want to see Celia Cruz sleeping? And then he just goes, what? said? I said Celia Cruz is in this room over here sleeping.
Celia Cruz, for all the you guys that may or may not know, she's Cuban. She's dark skinned and she's what you would call Afro-Cuban.
Yes.
And most of the Fania All-Stars were Puerto Rican. If you really want to get down historically on salsa music and the evolution of salsa music with Afro-Cuban jazz and Caribbean rhythm, Google Fania All-Stars, F-A-N-I-A. It's amazing shit. Amazing.
Yeah,
Ray Barreto, Johnny Pacheco, fucking.
What's the social club? What's that?
That's different.
That's different.
That's Buena Vista Social Club is just straight up.
Is
Cuban.
Another branch, right?
It's just something completely different.
Yeah, here, that's amazing how many branches there are in salsa. I don't even know.
Well, Buena Vista Social Club, I don't know that you would consider that salsa. I think that's more.
That's Cuban. Isn't that Cuban?
That's ballad type music.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I got some ads.
You're right.
Yeah. It's, hold on. Here we go. This is Kimbara.
Oh, yeah, this is a big
this
one.
This is a dope track.
So
it's Kimbara, guitarra, guitarra, king, bom, bom. Kimbara, guitarra, guitarra, king, bom, bom. Kimbara, guitarra.
That's how she snored. Oh, eh, mama, oh, eh, mama.
Oh, hold on. I got the volume down.
Hey, mama, hey, mama. Yeah, man. See, this is my...
Which,
Latino,
by the way,
Hispanic
salsa
heritage.
is very recognizable by the horn section.
Yeah.
And they'll have a break. And then it just breaks into this, like...
My dad was a composer, too.
Really?
He wrote music for Armando Manzanero, like romantic music. And he would run the orchestra at the club. And so he would prepare the music for the orchestra at the club, and they would play it. El Caché, Grupo Caché.
Really?
Yeah. And so it was big in the 80s, man. Everybody, I ran a night there, Wednesday night. Guess with who? With the one and only himself, Jerry. We call him Jerry back when we were a kid, but they know him as Gerardo.
Who's
that? Suave Says right now.
Wait a minute. Oh,
on VH1.
Oh,
he was a family friend.
Oh, really? So the club at Caché is still there?
No, it's Rockaway Records now.
Rockaway Records?
Yeah.
Well, they sell records there?
Yeah.
Really?
They changed the whole thing into like a store.
Really?
They made a bunch of stores.
I that's
what used to be a club. Now is like seven stores.
So, but you
they
multiplied. Okay, got it. But you had a night there. You used to do a show
Wednesday
there?
Nights. I did Wednesday nights.
But that wasn't your father's anymore, right?
No, it was his club. He let me run Wednesday nights. I was
not comedy.
No, it was a nightclub. I was 17 years old. I was 17 years old. I was 18, I think. 18. The club was supposed to be 21 and over. All my friends are coming. And they're all 18, 19, 20.
Got it.
And then Jerry's
and this is the
friends.
80s? Like, what?
This is early 90s. 1990, 91. Nice. And then, 89, I think.
Got it. That's a good time for being a Latino in LA.
Yeah. And then Jerry had his people come, the actors. Like Gerardo was meeting all the actors. And Tony Basil came to our club, the one that sings, "Oh, Mickey, you're so fine.
You're so fine. You blow my mind." Hey, Mickey.
She was dancing on our dance floor.
Hey, Mickey.
All these,
she's a cutie.
Yeah, all these crazy people are just showing up from Hollywood.
Right.
And they were talking about our club. But it just like every other club here, it was 3 months busy, and then just they went to another club.
Huh.
It's every club is like that here.
It's like the driving.
Yeah, it's like it lasts for a while. It's like the night at the Roxbury. It's how it is here. It lasts for 3 to 6 months, and then you change the name.
Because
it's not cool anymore.
Well, the music scene has evolved into the same bullshit. I mean, 92.3, they used to be the Art Laveau
they're gone.
Connection. It's another hip-hop station.
Yeah.
It's like, how many fucking hip-hop stations do you need in L.A.?
It's all...
Yeah.
It's
no
weird music now.
Yeah, no club plays anything... anyway, I'm gonna sound like an old fucking idiot, but there are no clubs that play... I don't know, danceable, you know, music, right? Like...
There are stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
I mean,
but the thing is this new generation is more into like the repetition of something.
But I was always into.
Okay, then what is it then? Because there's something. That's what I see when I go.
It depends.
It's a computer and somebody pushing buttons.
Well, it depends. If there's music that has a rhythm, but with vocals, and it's well orchestrated, right? You talked about your father being orchestrated and composing music, as opposed to just be like for instance. Anybody can be a DJ now. Back in the day, you needed to have some sort of understanding
of
beats per minute. Yeah. You have to have an understanding of rec music, right? Yeah. You can't just like, right now on YouTube, I can get two YouTube windows, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to show you. I can open up two YouTube windows.
We used to do that here.
And I can play two fucking records, and I can stop and play, stop and play. And eventually, I can sync them. Pretty fairly easy, so I can mix one record into the other. But I'm saying that's without having records. That's without owning records, right? Yeah. But also now that, there's programs like CD mixers. Now, fuck CD mixers. They have thumb drives that you don't need to bring a CD mixer. You don't need a turntable.
Right.
I mean a CD player. All you need is a fucking computer. You put a thumb drive, and there's a software that tells you what the beat per minute is on one record and the beat per minute is on the other.
And then you just
need to know where you want that other record to come in. On
I'm into instruments. I play the drums. I play percussion.
Okay, well then there you go.
I'm into bands. I'm into instruments. Everybody playing together. It's just the one person, the computer thing coming up with. I think the beats are done, man. I don't know how many more beats can be made. I think all the beats are done, guys.
So we gone all over the fucking place.
I know.
So
it was like, great, though.
It's fun. It's fun. I love it. I fucking love it. Tell me about your show, the show that you used to. Well, no. Well, you know what? Before we go there. So you make a living doing stand-up.
Yeah.
So you do tours here and there, right?
Yeah. I get invited to. I open for Willie Barsena. Okay. He's one of the guys I open for.
Okay.
And so he's introduced me. He's done a lot for me. He's introduced me to club owners out there.
Out where?
And
everywhere.
And everywhere. Texas, Arizona, Northern California. California Central, where it's an easy distance to go and get good pay.
Yeah.
And they respect you for your comedy and not for how many people you bring. But that's still in the back of their mind.
Yeah.
You know, but you get a little bit more respect there for your comedy.
Right.
You know, to hear it's like
it's such a fucked up, bad. It could be self-deprecating because anyway, it's oversaturated. Also, you really have to have thick skin, and you have to be focused.
But like I played football, and they used to say we would play in any weather, rain, mud, you know, it was a hot sun, terrible ground, pure dirt, you know, and so it that didn't matter. They always say that didn't matter. You have to keep playing, and so I have a strength. I know I have this strength. It's called adapting. I adapt when. A friend told me one time I had this key, it was broken, and I kept using it. I just kept using it instead of going to get my key fixed. He goes, man, you just like to adapt to whatever things happen. You just keep adapting. And so with that is what I
You translate that to stand-up.
Yeah, I definitely translate it to stand-up.
Yeah.
And
well, you're persistent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I go to the clubs and I tell the guys, the owners there, hey, you need me. You want me? I have a talk with them. I know the quick line to get more nights. And it's going straight to the owner and then building that relationship. It's just that simple.
It's not really about like killing it. It's not about doing a great job.
You don't have to be funny to be in this business.
No.
That's the sad part.
It's not about killing it. I mean, you have no idea how many times I fucking, like, for instance, the Ice House, Jan Smith will call me. I hadn't performed in a while when I did that Stars in Black. I haven't performed because I have this love-hate relationship with a dude. It's like, I'm not hanging out in a comedy club. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to that other club you were telling me about the other night to hang out. You know what that feels like? It feels like I'm a dog and my tongue is out and I need a biscuit. You know what I mean?
I did that for the first year.
I don't need a biscuit, bro. I need a treadmill. You understand?
But the thing is, when I was doing that, there were guys around me that were doing it 5-10 years, and they're doing that.
I know.
And then here was year one, and I said I'm not going to do this for long.
Right.
You know, but I'm going to come out here and I'm going to just be a chump. and I still am, you know, to a certain, to another level. You know, as you keep going up, I still am learning, and there's just so many fucking levels.
So when you say
levels.
Come out here, I mean, you've been in L.A. for a long time, yeah? You were born here?
I was born in L.A. I was born right here, 6th and Lucas, right here,
oh,
right
downtown.
Here. Just a fucking
right here,
2 minutes
here?
Right here. Good Samaritan Hospital.
Right here, right here?
Downtown.
All right. All right. Did you wanna play a clip from one of your stand-ups so that my people...
Well, you were going to play the stars, and I said, nah, I don't want the stars.
You don't like that. You didn't like that.
I didn't like the stars.
You didn't like that because what they did was... First of all,
yeah, they
how much time did you do?
I did
that?
10 minutes.
And how much time did they air?
4 minutes and 20-something seconds.
Really? Yeah. They did the same thing to me.
I know.
But here's the thing. They told me.
But then I took it for what it is. Yeah,
but they told me that I was going to do a 10-minute set, right?
Uh-huh.
And, like, I know my jokes because I fucking crafted a 10-minute set.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't even halfway through when I got the light. It was weird, right?
Yes.
So I got a 4-minute, 20-second set, just like you. But I didn't do a full 10-minute set. But they fucking took my first joke.
Uh-huh.
And they fucking completely cut it, and they took out the punchline, just the setup.
Yeah,
it was
weird.
It was weird. Anyway.
So I thought what I would do is when you said you wanted to play a clipping.
Well, if you want. I mean,
I thought I'd play what happened last night. I mean, has any comedian done that on a radio podcast? Hey, this happened last night.
You were at the Ha Ha last night?
At the
How did it go? How was the show?
Oh, it was great, man. Yeah. They got a new room.
No, I know. He bought a new place.
And it's beautiful.
Oh,
it's a beautiful fucking room.
He should have done that a long time ago. I mean, he gets a fucking crowd there.
So this is just one little joke. It's a short joke.
Really excited. Actually, it was my dad's birthday not too long ago. He turned 75 years old. He turned 75. Yeah. Some of you have a heart, some of you don't. Give a shit. You can see that, right? I didn't know what to get my dad at 75. 75, I asked people, right? Somebody told me Viagra. I said, you don't know my dad. We call him Boner Dad. Worse. So I asked my dad, I said, hey, what do you want for your birthday? He said, mijo, buy me a tablet so I can chat with my friends. So I bought him a Ouija board.
So that's a perfect example. Is that the joke or there's more?
Yeah, no, that's it.
Yeah, that's funny. But that's a perfect example of a perfect Los Angeles, when I say Los Angeles, a perfect Los Angeles crowd.
Yeah.
Right? I wasn't even there, but I can, as a comedian, I could tell they would have laughed at any, like they're there to laugh.
Sure, sure, sure.
They're there to laugh.
And you know what? Those are more the,
and it wasn't
I
even,
see those as the other crowds.
And like it wasn't even packed, right? I could tell it wasn't like fucking
it was
100%,
75%, 80%, 75-80% packed. But I mean, I think.
Well, that's pretty good.
I think the other out of town, like, they're ready to laugh. When I go to Fresno?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I go to Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Those people, like,
No, but that's what I'm saying. When you're in L.A., not every time.
Yeah, here.
But I said that's a perfect example of a great L.A. fucking crowd,
right?
They're not all great, but, like, when you go to Latino Night at the Laugh Factory, they're there to laugh, right? The Ice House where we did the Stars in Black, I have never had a bad set there. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what
but
I mean?
But you've been to those rooms where there's like all Jewish people.
Well, it could be like all Jewish people.
No,
it could
but it's
be
like
blacks.
A white, like a lot of white. And then or those rooms that it's all the hipsters. Say the hipsters, and they have a clique thing going.
Yeah.
And then some of the comedians up there telling jokes between themselves and nobody's fucking getting it. It's like, what's wrong with you guys?
Well, I mean, New York, it depends. It depends. Here's the thing about L.A. and New York, the difference about the two places culturally, right? Culturally, Los Angeles is a car culture, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't walk anywhere, right?
Subway,
so that means
New
you
York.
Have very little interaction with another person, meaning, you know, walking by, touching them, whatever, right?
Oh,
so you're
God,
in a car.
I love it.
So you're in a car. The closest you get to somebody in a car is when somebody stops in front of you or cuts in front of you or you're going back.
But
you
you're still in your shell. You're still
you're
in your protection.
Shell. You're in a
your
shell.
Protected bubble.
You're in a shell. So most people, and I'm not saying just L.A., in most car cultures, people go to bars to drink, to socialize, or comedy is a big thing. They go there, you know, to just like release their stress and laugh. You know, New York is not a car culture. New York is a pedestrian culture. Mm-hmm. At any given point, you have 50 million motherfuckers walking one way and another way, and they're all up on you. The truth of the matter is, you don't want to be near somebody. Once you're done working, you want to go home, you want to chill. So if you go to a bar, you're socializing, whatever. If you go to a club, and also New Yorkers are like, fuck you. I'm paying for this. What are you going to give me? Right? And it's just like, make me laugh. You know, and they could be tough audiences. Believe me. Sometimes it could be that way. it's just a harder, you know, harder crowd. But like you said, when you go to other places, Fresno, Arizona, Texas, these are people who don't get out much. They're not metropolitan people. So when you come there, you know, it's like, wow.
You're a celebrity. Then. That's the crazy part about
it. Exactly.
Sometimes they
I touched Celia Cruz's ass. You did? You like, you know what I mean? So that's funny. All right, so that's funny. Good shit. So tell me this. What was your show about here? What was your thing?
We would talk about news stuff, and then I would do a lot of crank calls. Like, I would call up comedians and I would say, "Hey man, I need you to call in like Dennis Rodman. Can you do a Dennis Rodman?"
Call in as Dennis Rodman.
Or I need you to call in as Magic Johnson, or I need you to call in as something else, right?
Right.
And or I would step out and call as Kim Jong-un. Or, you know, we would just do these silly-ass phone calls that you could just tell we were having fun. We started, they weren't perfect, and then, you know, we would end up blundering or something fucked up, but we were having a good time. And I think that's what everybody liked, because I've been having a lot of people asking me to bring it back. And this is what happened. I had a co-host, my buddy Rob DeRocha.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah.
And then I brought in a girl, a female, to the show. Yeah. And I told Rob, I said, "Hey, do me a favor. Don't fuck her."
And he did.
And so that's the end of the story.
That was it. But you brought in Rob as a guest, I believe, because I remember I listened to one of your first episodes. He was just
a guest. Yeah, he was just a guest one time,
and then
we kind of had a good
rapport.
We got a good rapport, and we kind of were on the same page of things, and so I brought him in again. But then once we started, I said, "Hey, Rob, we're gonna be like a married couple, because we're gonna fight, we're gonna argue, we're gonna be doing all this stuff."
Yeah.
Because I've owned businesses with other people,
sure.
And a business partner told me that one time. We're gonna be like a married couple.
Sure.
And I learned that, and it's so true.
So what happened?
And
what
so we got over our hump. There was a point where we were at each other's throats. I was like, "You shut up, fuck this, get out of here."
Like on the air, off.
A couple times on the air. You know, because since it was my show, I was coming. I'd say I put my foot down sometimes. You know, it's like I would get criticized.
It was your show,
yeah.
Meaning you paid for the show. Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he was just coming in. And
it was
out.
Just me, and I said, "I'm going to keep it. Everything on my show. You're just my co-host, and
it's very difficult.
But everything's got to go. There has to be a leader. I believe that there has to be a leader in anything.
Somebody's got
to
be running.
Yeah,
the show,
like when I see these shows, sometimes I'm a guest on these shows, and there's six people running the fucking show. I'm just sitting on the side going like, "Oh my God, these people are crazy." You know, it's just, there's no leader. There's no leadership.
Yeah.
That's why doing it alone is a different story. You know, you don't really need to do leadership. You already have it. It's there.
Yeah. But you also have to have some sort of, you know, energy.
Balance.
And you have to have some sort of, there's another guy on Skid Row, Vic Cohen. He does his show alone.
Yeah.
And it's 55 minutes, and, you know, it's a fair question.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can, you know, do a barrage of questioning with a guest for 55 minutes, and they're all intelligent questions, funny, witty, provocative, and it's interesting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but one thing I was going to say about your show is I always enjoyed your voice. You have a really good radio voice.
Thanks. Yeah, I get that a lot, too, and I've been doing some voiceover work also. I was the voice for some MMA fights for Black Belt TV in Spanish. So they would put me with fights and they would play them, and I would be like, "Y le está pegando a la derecha y le entrando la barriga." Al piso. Como maricones.
Got it,
and I was just having fun with that.
Y huele a gran puta.
They were just wanting me to yell at the TV. It was wonderful,
yeah,
man.
That's awesome.
And I got paid. I got like good pay doing that.
Hijo de la gran puta, by the way, is a curse. Do you guys use that curse?
Yeah, claro, claro.
So hijo de la gran puta is actually hijo de la gran puta.
But see, every country shortens it in some way.
Well, yeah, because it's a runner. It's like hijo de la gran puta.
Okay, yeah. And in my country, in Ecuador, hijo de puta.
What, hijo de puta?
Yeah.
Hijo de puta is the short version. Hijo de puta means son of a whore. That's what it means. So basically, you call somebody a son of a whore.
Yeah.
But hijo de la gran puta is you're the son of the grandest whore. That means if you're just a whore, you just fuck a couple of dudes for money. But if you're the grandest whore, you fuck everybody. Could you imagine that? Some passionate fucking cursing. You know what I mean?
En el año 1600. Hijo de la puta.
En el año. There you go. Let's play a little bit for.
Well, congratulations on the time that you've been doing this show, man. I remember I was doing my show and you started doing your show.
I think my show was here maybe.
No, mine was here before his, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
because
I remember you were asking me about this.
Well,
the
maybe around the same time.
Yeah.
No, you know why? Because I was doing another show here.
Oh, okay, with somebody else, another name, I think. Yes, you're right.
Yes, I was doing another show.
But when you broke off Nestorius, NPR.
Nestorius Public Radio.
I remember you showing me all those ideas.
Yes.
It's great, man. Yeah. And if you keep at it, it's fun.
Listen, it's fun. I enjoy making people laugh.
Yeah.
I have opinions up the ass, right? I have opinions about every fucking thing.
We all comedians.
Yeah. But I just do in regular life, not even just getting up on stage. You know, comedians have a point of view about things, a perspective about things, right? A take on things.
Yeah.
But to have opinions about shit like this fucking asshole or that or perfect example, real quick.
Uh-huh.
Driving in LA is it's a phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where you were driving from. I was gonna get into this, but I wasn't, because I always do it all the time, is bitch about the driving here in LA.
Uh-huh.
I'm driving from the valley. Without fucking fail, 70 miles an hour, and when you get, by the time you get to Vermont, it's fucking, it just stops, right?
Yeah.
But along the way, doing 70, even 80, you got people who are in the passing lane and they're just slow. Then there's one next to him, slow. People love to drive in these stupid fucking clusters, which goes back to the thing in that movie Crash.
Yeah.
If you've seen the movie, there's something to the effect of, I think people who get into accidents do so because it's their way to try to get close to somebody else, to connect to somebody else. And there's some truth to that. If you look at the politics, if I could use that word loosely, of driving in Los Angeles, freeway driving, if you look at the fucking politics of it, be aware. So most people, like in an ideal world, right, the passing lane would be 70 fucking miles, 70, 80 miles an hour direct. Right. And everybody else who wants to fuck off, they'd go into the other lanes, right? The secondary lanes closer to the right? But no, people will get on the fucking passing lane just to chill because there happens to be an opening there.
Yeah.
You may be doing 75 miles an hour and this asshole for no reason will go in front of you, cut you off, right?
Yeah.
And he'll be doing 5 to 10 miles slower than you.
Yeah.
It's like the concept of driving involves
flow.
Well, it also primarily, it involves knowing your place, right, within everybody else, right?
So
if you're going to make a left turn or a right turn, yes, you put your turn signals, which most people don't anyway, right?
Right.
Or you put your turn signals, but that doesn't mean you automatically just go, right? You put your turn signals as a courtesy for somebody else to let them know this is what you want to do, right?
Sure.
But then there has to be an equal amount of aggressiveness, right? Because some people are going to be like, fuck them, I'm not going to let them go.
Right.
Then there's got to be the judgment call, right?
Yeah.
Is this car behind me? You have to size it up. Is he going too fast? Because if he's going too fast, let him go, because behind him there's no car. Once he passes, then but none of that shit goes into play here.
No, other people don't think
like
that.
It's almost as if you're in your own fucking planet, and as a result, there's a lot of unnecessary congestion and fucking traffic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you have the people who are cautiously, touching, tapping the brake. And you see, and that shit trickles all the way to fuck back 2 or 3 miles if the freeway is packed.
The people tapping the brakes have commitment problems. Like, they don't want to get close to people.
No, they're afraid. They're afraid that they're going to get into a, you know, in an accident. And anyway, it's just a crazy dynamic. Driving is a crazy dynamic. And I don't know why the fuck I brought up driving and the crazy dynamic, but I was going somewhere with it. But we're coming close to the end of the show. So I'm just going to, like, assume that was it, that I wasn't really going to go anywhere with the driving. Hopefully you got something out of the driving. Hopefully you got something more than I'm just bitching about the driving. Hopefully you got an insight as to how to fucking drive a little bit better. You know, maybe you got an insight of the proper use of a turn signal, and maybe you got some insight into the proper use of gauging how fast somebody else is going before you cut them off and fucking slow down the flow of fucking traffic. Okay, you douchebags. But for all the
you,
other...
You can see Nestor at traffic school comedy.
I know where I was going.
I'd love to see you there.
Oh, I know where traffic I was going. I know where I was going with it. So I'm looking for parking down here, right? I know where I'm going with it. So when you come to downtown LA, there's never parking. There's fucking parking as hell here, right? Yeah. And to boot, they're shooting a fucking film or something down here. So that means if there were 3 spots left, there's -8 spots left, right?
Right.
So I'm driving around. I like to come down before I do my show and be here at least 30 minutes early, because chances are you have to circle around for a while. I was running late today. So I saw you. I said, let me go around. I saw a spot, and of course, this PA is putting cones around, right? And I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm backing the fucking thing up, and, you know, there was a meter. Because you can't just take a meter spot unless you have posted signs, right? I mean, legally, you can't. That's the way it is.
There's some crazy stuff going down here right now.
No, but I'm saying the only way you can legally take a public spot is if you get a permit for it, right? So that means you have to post permits. Believe me, I know, I'm in production, right? You got to put postings that you cannot park from this point to this point, because we're going to be shooting. But what happens is, today they need extra spots. I can tell, right? So I said, fuck it. I'm just going to back up, and, you know, I'm going to. So anyway, I do it. I turn my car off. I'm getting ready to go out the car when one of the fucking LAPD film division guys comes up. And I've seen him a lot. This one particular guy, he's always down here. He comes over. He goes, hey, they're going to be doing a turnaround shot from the water grill. And they really need this spot or whatever. And I was like, now I know that legally I can park there, right? Yeah. I know. I said to him, well, let me ask you this. Is it possible that I can go do my show? I do a radio show here. Like, it's always going to take me as an hour. Is it possible that I can just leave the car here and park it? And he goes, nah, I wish I could do it. Right? Now, if I wanted to get into it with him, I could have said, there's no fucking signs here. There's no permits here. So fuck you. Uh-huh. All right? You tow my car, but then they can tow my car, and then you got to deal with it. You got to fight, right? So anyway, so he says to me, isn't there any parking up there? And I said, there's no fucking parking. You fucking guys took all of it. And this is a cop, I'm telling him. You know what I mean? But he's in New York. He looks at me as like, whatever. All right. I say, yeah, fuck it. Let me get out. All right?
Got towed, probably.
No, I moved my car, and as I came down here, there's a spot in a loading only zone, the yellow.
Yeah, you know, which you can't after 6.
Oh, don't tell too many people.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Anyway, listen, this is the end of our show. Make sure to go to iTunes, give us a fucking 5-star review. I'll send you a condom case. Go to Facebook. Go to our Facebook page. Like our Facebook fucking page, Nestorius Public Radio. You know, we need more likes.
Yes.
And what's up with you? What do you got?
I have rickiz.com. All my information, all my videos, rickiz.com. I got a show at the Laugh Factory next Wednesday. I have a guest list. Nice. Hit me up. I got a show at the Ice House. Nice. March, Friday the 13th.
Nice.
Hit me up. And then Ontario Improv, March 26th.
That's one of my favorite clubs. Whose show is that?
I love it. That's my show. It's my show, baby. I'll bring you out to one, dude. I'm doing more. Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
I'm doing like one every 2 months.
March 26th?
Yeah.
I'm going to swing by any fucking way just to check out the show.
Dude, thanks, brother.
I love the show. March 26th.
Thank you, brother.
Ice House, when is you doing the Ice House?
March 13th. Friday, March 13th,
I'm not gonna
in
be
stage
here.
Two.
I'm not going to be here.
Where are you going to be?
Havana.
Havana. Oh.
Yo voy a estar en Havana del marzo 5, del 5 de marzo hasta el 15 de marzo.
All right, I want to hear about it.
Oh, it's going to be dope. Anyway, that's our show. Thank you, Jenny, for letting me go over a couple minutes. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.